welcome to the Traveling Sales Lady podcast. We are the fun side of sales. No passport required. I'm sorry. This is so funny to me. I love the genius of this tagline, Traveling Sales Lady. Are you just as impressed as I am that we got that done?
I love it. I love it.
Oh my goodness. Guys, everyone, welcome. This is one of those shows where, look, we're definitely not ones to take ourselves very seriously, as you shouldn't, because you know why? Our lives are serious enough as it is. So welcome to the Traveling Sales Ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way.
Traveling Sales, I think we need to turn the channel. Turn the channel.
No! I think we're just having a moment. That's all. Some, you know what? Do you ever get giddy on your travels? Like, do you just have those trips where you're just like, wow, am I supposed to take my shoes off? Like, I've never seen this before.
Have you had that when you're in a meeting and you just can't stop laughing and laughing and you're thinking, don't do it. Don't do it.
Exactly. So, well, hey, you know what? We probably could go coach us along on this, because you know what? As professionals, you always want to be like on top of your game. You always want to put your best foot forward for your clients and obviously for your bosses if they're around. But who has to clean it up if it does go awry is typically HR. Is that not true?
That is very true. That leads into a good segue to our guest today, Sia. I'm super stoked to introduce the world to Wendy Sellers. Wendy is known as the, are you ready? The HR lady. She's a human resources expert, has her own company that really is focused on helping a wide variety. I'm excited to dig in a wide variety of diverse industries with their HR needs and operations and collaborations and management and so forth. But Wendy, you can do a whole lot better job than me telling the world about your company, maybe a couple of key points, your reach, and we can dig into your travel and experience. And I know salespeople that are listening to this are going to want to know what's the latest trend for 2025 in salespeople, and how do people with little experience get new roles in sales and all that happy, good stuff?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. Hi, everybody. I'm Wendy Sellers, the HR lady. And yes, I have two trademarks on that. So I should be the only HR lady. That's the name of my company, the HR Lady LLC. I have been in HR close to 30 years, been running my own company about 12 years now, I want to say. And so I help businesses, mostly small businesses on the HR consulting side that aren't going to have HR. They're too small to have HR. So I teach the business owner, the operations manager, or the managers in general, how to wear the HR hat amongst their other hats, because they're the ones that's going to be dealing with, you know, employee drama and turnover and retention and attraction and recruiting and all the laws that have completely changed in the past, I would say, decade, and will continue to do so. So that's a little bit about me. I work across the United States, and I also do a ton of management training. And I'm working out of a hotel room right now because I'm speaking at an event tomorrow. So I do a lot of speaking engagements as well. And fun fact is last year, 2024, I just finished all the states in the United States. So I've been to every single state. Do I remember them all? Probably not, because some of them were work-related and rush, but I have checked that off.
Ooh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Which one is your favorite?
You know, I don't really have a favorite. I live in Florida. I love where I live in St. Pete, Florida, but the rest of Florida, meh, not so much, especially the, you know, the stuff that's in the news all the time, you know, Florida man. So, I try to find something good in every state, and I definitely like to go to the museums and just read about the history, because it's not what we were taught. You know, when I do travel across the country, I just try to talk to locals and remove the judgment and just find something in common to connect with them and then learn, like, why are you here? Why did you live here? Or why did you stay here? So it's been pretty cool experience.
Oh, okay. So I got to tell you guys, first off, I felt a little seen because I was born in Orlando, which is home of Florida Man. Thank you very much. So I love Orlando and my Florida Man. That being said, is okay, so HR, I'm not going to lie, as sales professionals, you have like a reputation, okay?
Yeah, both sales professionals
and HR. And the funny part, the funniest part, at one of my companies, at the time I was in inside sales, they put inside sales directly next to HR. I was so bitter. We were all so bitter about it. And it was just hilarious because obviously we had to be on our best behavior. But I think the reality of it was, I think the HR team just wanted to hang out with us because we were fun. They would come up and down. Okay, and sometimes the stuff coming out of our mouths may or may not have been copacetic.
There was a reason they put the sales part department next to the HR department to try to, you know, rope you in and keep you in some kind of control. But with that said, you know, yeah, HR does have a bad reputation, and, you know, with good reason, because HR isn't always a great department. And, you know, that's where me and my colleagues strive to be different, to say, you know what, we're here not just to protect the employer, although that is why they hire you, is to protect the employer, but also to make sure we are engaging the employee so that we don't have to keep spending money on recruiting and turnover and attraction and retention. You know, it's very expensive, but HR definitely has changed, I would say, in the past 10 years, definitely since the pandemic, because we had no choice but to change. And so I'm here for it. I'm looking forward to the day that old school HR is gone away and locked and, you know, retired and just gone off this earth. But we have a long way to go for that.
Wow. And what are some trends, Wendy, that you're aware of for 2025 as far as, you know, I know in healthcare, there's still a staffing crisis and there's still turnover and transition. I think that's going to be, but you tell me, for the next few years. But what are you seeing as an overall trend? Is the market good for employers, good for employees? Does it all depend?
It really all depends. I mean, you know, you hear in the news recently a lot more about layoffs. And, you know, I try to tell everybody, listen, first of all, the news is there just to sell advertisement. So it's not always factual information. But many of the companies that have been doing layoffs as of recently is because they overhired. And they overhired because the demand for their product during the pandemic and post-pandemic, or their service, their product or service, was so high. So they said, sales, 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 let's hire all these people so that we can make as much money as we can. And now that the desire for whatever they were selling or making, producing is kind of going to the wayside, they are now laying off. I find, though, I'm an HR consultant. Like I said, I help companies of all sizes, but many of my companies that I help as their HR consultant, they don't have an HR department, but I do management training for all size companies. And everybody's still hiring. Almost everybody's still hiring. Even if it's just one role, you know, eventually you're going to fill that role and then somebody's going to retire, or you're going to remove them from the company for some reason, and we're always going to be replaced. And so I do not think that at this point in time, the beginning of January 2025, that there's going to be, you know, a major loss of nobody's hiring anymore. If anybody is finding that they cannot get hired, it probably has something to do with their resume. They're not treating it like sales, because finding a job is sales. You're selling yourself. And so they just may not be applying in the right position, and or they may not have the knowledge, skills, and abilities that are in hot demand. So that's the other thing that I'm finding a lot. Nothing new, but with the pace of how technology is changing, especially with AI, if you as a candidate do not get the skills that are needed for the new age, then whatever's on your resume is not going to be desired. So we're going to have to wait around and see, but I really think there's still going to be a high demand of people, of needing people in the workforce, even if you have a chatbot working at the work, you know, at that company. So that's my thoughts based on my experience.
Yeah. I think I love AI in terms of if you use it the right way. To me, it's not intended to replace, but it definitely helps complement. I think if it's used in the right way. You mentioned resumes. I still see, and I'm shocked. Why, Wendy? Why do so many people, unfortunately, either not read their resume before they send it out, not get a second set of eyes? How can you have professional experience and the P is missing, so the person that's reading it looks at professional experience and you're already out before you're in? What is up with that? And typos and grammar, I don't understand.
So, you know, here's the deal. Unless you're hiring somebody to be a writer, an editor, a publisher, an author, and if their job does not require there to be, you know, absolutely no typos or, you know, 1.5 space, 2.0 space, then who cares? You know, I know that's not the answer you were looking for, but that's the answer I'm giving you. You know, if I don't like when we judge people on their resume, when we're judging them, but that's not what they're going to do. Now, all professionals should not have typos on their resume. They should have somebody look it over. The other thing they can do, since we were just talking about AI, is they could run their resume through an AI program like ChatGPT or Google Gemini. The only piece of advice I would give to the listeners is make sure that you remove your name. Like, don't enter your name, your address, your email, your phone number into any AI system, because there's bad people out there in the world and they'll figure out a way to use that against you. But why not run your resume through an AI system and say, hey, I'm applying for this job, copy paste job ad. Here's my resume. Let me know what I need to change on my resume, or how can I make my resume better so that somebody will say, yes, this person's qualified for the job ad. Now, on the other hand, anybody can do that and then lie and say, yes, I have all the knowledge, skills, and abilities that you need based on the job ad because, you know, ChatGPT helped me rewrite my resume. So now it's important for anybody who's interviewing to make sure they have very good interview questions so that you don't say, wow, this resume was amazing. You're hired. And it's like, well, that resume is a marketing piece. And since we are on a sales podcast, we do know that marketing and sales are sometimes a little bit of BS, right?
Okay. Okay. I'm feeling seen and attacked here, lady. No, truthfully is this, I'm kind of right there with you, the traveling sales lady, because when I was a hiring manager, to me, it was more like if you are in sales, and because, again, full disclosure, I was in sales. If you aren't paying attention to detail, it would reflect on your client, on what their needs are. Yep. That are you going to pay attention to their details of what they need to get addressed? And so maybe call it old school, call it judgment. I am judgy. I admit I judge. I just feel like you should. If you're not a good writer, if you're not a confident person to write in prose, I get that. But you're right. I mean, these AI tools are here to aid you, not to write for you. And full disclosure, everyone, we can tell if you're using AI because AI has a formula and they like to use certain words. And unless you've really trained your AI, it will come up and spit out that generic one if you haven't like really put the time and effort to massage it. So that's all I'm saying. So I guess maybe is it in this day and age, is it wrong for us to assume there's a certain amount of like lack of attention to detail, AKA laziness, if you're seeing that on your resumes as a first impression?
I mean, yeah, definitely. Especially if you're, you know, you're experienced professional and you're supposed to be selling yourself as, hey, I have great communication skills. It's like, well, you can't spell, or you can't double check things, you know? And so it does, you know, it depends on the role. You know, obviously with sales, a big part of sales is communication, written and verbal. So those need to be key focuses, and that should be in the job description and therefore the job ad. But if you're, you know, hiring for a manufacturing box packer, no, I don't care what their resume looks like. Can you do this or not? You know, I don't really care if you can formulate full sentences or not on a resume. So, you know, just that's what I mean by the judging. Like, we have to judge based on the role that they're applying for. In sales, you know, problem solving is a huge skill, communication skills for sure, making sure that there's critical thinking skills and negotiation skills. So make sure that if you are interviewing for a salesperson, so you're the interviewer, I teach all of my clients and all of my customers to get all the interview questions ready in advance so that every single interview that you're doing is consistent and you're asking the same questions. Other questions are going to come up naturally based on the conversation, but that you're asking the same, whatever, 25 questions, and then you throw that into a scorecard. And then you, you know, when you have your last three candidates, you can say, okay, I've asked them all the same questions. Here's how they answered. This is how I'm going to judge them, AKA score them. And this is why I'm choosing this person for the role versus, ooh, I like the shirt that they wore and I'm going to choose them for that role. Well, that's not part of the job description. So we're not going to choose them on that. But I'm going back to your question about, you know, just kind of like, what are we expecting in 2025? It's going to be a lot more of the same. There's a shortage of staff. There's really not a shortage of humans. There's a shortage of people that have the knowledge, skills, and abilities and the experience that we need. And then there's also a shortage of people who have the behaviors that we need. So make that very, very, very clear in your job ads, in your job interviews, that I need these skills, but I also need you to behave this way. And if you don't, you can't be with our company.
Or put them next to HR, or sit them next to HR. I got
no, don't give, no. Don't throw your problems onto HR. No. Just don't hire that person. I don't care if they sold $1 million in their last job. If they're a jerk, don't hire them, because they're going to cause you problems and you're probably going to end up getting sued by another employee for harassment and discrimination, you know, bullying and things like that.
Yeah. That's great advice. I love your advice about the questions on paper ahead of time and consistency. I'm always amazed from a sales perspective too, just a piece of advice to any salespeople that are putting together resumes. If you have on your resume, and you tell me, Wendy, what you think, but you could have, you know, your present place of employment. And if you have bullet points that your territory sales rep, and here are your bullet points that you achieved 120% of your quota and you made X number of calls a day and you have all these bullet. But if the person looking at it can't figure out what it is that you sold, if you failed to put that out there, I automatically, that goes in the disposal pile right out of the gate, because I don't know what you did.
Yeah, you need to, you definitely do need to have... I would recommend for anybody who's looking for a job right now, regardless of the role, is if the company name is vague, it's not like Construction ABC Company or Residential Construction ABC Company, put a little sentence below the company name before you even put your job title to say, this is what we do. This is what we sell. This is what we make. This is what we serve. And so it's very, it's important to do that. But it's also, you know, it's kind of the interviewer or the HR department, recruiting departments, it's their job too, to do a little bit of the heavy lifting. Do they do it? No, because everybody's too busy. But if you were my friend saying, I'm looking for a job, I'd be like, let's dumbify your resume so that anybody who reads it says, I worked for this company and this is what they did and this is what I sold and this is what my quota was, or this is what my SMART goals were, my KPIs, and this is how I exceeded them. So that's the other thing too, is for the listeners that are looking for a job, make sure you have numbers in your resume, regardless of what your role is, whether it's sales or whatever it is, but saying like, hey, I had a goal of XYZ in for 9 months and I exceeded it in 4 months. Like, people are going to go, oh, okay, I want to hire them, or I want to at least interview them.
Good point. Good point.
Hey, traveling sales lady, I just had a thought.
Oh, is it time, Sia? Is it time for our Click to Commerce segment?
I think so.
Falling asleep with your neck in the wrong position can be a real pain in the neck. Literally. People of all ages are falling for Tossie. Tossie gives you the comfort you've always dreamed of. go to TossieBrands.com and get your comfort on.
There used to be some rules about number of pages of resumes. Is that still in play? Don't go beyond two. Now write a book.
It depends. I mean, generally speaking, yes. You know, I can't speak for every single person that's hiring because, you know, there's people out there that say, oh, here's the rule. I'm like, give me the law where this is. It's a rule that somebody made up in their head. But, you know, generally speaking, not, you know, two pages is usually the rule of thumb. If you only have one or two jobs in your lifetime because you've only been in the workforce that long, then it should only be one page. I just helped somebody redo their resume the other day and they had a lot of accolades, a lot of papers and published articles and things that were really impressive. And she gave me her resume and it was 6 pages and I got it down to 3 pages, you know. So you have to understand as a candidate that because of technology, if we put a job ad out, 100 people might apply and only 3 of them are qualified. So whoever's going through those resumes are flipping through them really quick. So it has to stand out on your first page in the beginning of it. Otherwise, you're not even, the second page not even getting looked at.
Hey, can I ask a question? This is like something I know, I think. I never actually bothered to look. I have actually used these words. But what is the difference between a resume and a CV?
They're different countries and languages. That's really what it is. So you'll definitely see where people that are outside the United States to use the word CV. And then if they've worked, even if they're from the United States, but they've worked international, they've been trained to use CV. So it's basically the same thing. I'm sure it's not technically in the dictionary.com, but it's basically the same thing. In other countries, it is normal for people to even have on their resume their age, their family status, pictures, you know, all of that stuff. And here in the United States, you're like, no, don't put that information. But that is normal for other countries. So when you see that on somebody's resume slash CV, don't be like, ooh, they're dumb or whatever. Just be like, oh, you know, they must have experience globally versus just here in the United States. One thing that I did want to say, though, real quick is just talking about statistics and going back to sales. Some of the statistics are, there was a Harvard Business Review posted an article last year, 2024, and it said that the average sales employment duration is less than 2 years in many industries. And then I was reading another statistic about HubSpot said that sales reps, so these are reps, often only stay within a company about, you know, 18 months before leaving for a different opportunity. And, you know, I know you're shaking your head because that's not true in every role, right? It's not true in every role. But if a company does hire a salesperson and they, you know, they burn them out, they use them and abuse them, I'd leave too.
Yeah.
So it's all about how you treat people. And, you know, but not even talking about sales roles, any role. I would say in the past 10 years, probably the past 20 years, really, you know, most experienced professionals, they don't stay at companies anymore more than, you know, maybe 3 to 5 years. And I know as employers, we wish that would be different, but that means we as employers need to act differently and we need to treat people differently. If we're easily going to go, oh, I'm not making money this month, I need to do a layoff, well, then I don't blame people for walking out the door just as quick as you would let them go. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I call that don't play ha-ha. No ha-ha. Right. Ha-ha to me is when you bring someone in and then you say, ha-ha, this wasn't correct. This wasn't that. Why do that? I think bring people in and have mutual respect right out of the get-go. And they will. I believe that the difficulty lies, though. I call it it. If you find it and it's difficult to find that you're in with a company that you love the company appreciates your work. There's value. There's fun. You put your head on your pillow at night. You sleep. You don't wake up at 3 a.m, worried, depressed. Oh my goodness, please don't let it be 5:30 or 6 and I got to get up to go there. When you find it, it's a different lifestyle altogether, but it's hard to find it.
And it really
because
is.
To your point.
It is. And so companies who are hiring for sales folks, you know, consider, first of all, making sure you're like I said, the interview questions. I always tell everybody, pause your job ad right now, and then let's really close it because we're probably going to redo it and open it up. Let's rewrite the job description. Make sure it's accurate. If you have a decent sized company, get a committee together of current employees to say, hey, we're looking for this position. You're not going to be involved in the selection process, but let's talk about what we really need here. Because often when we're up here at this level, we say, this is what we need. And then when we go to the front line, they go, no, that is not at all what we need. So we end up hiring the wrong person. And then everybody, including the new hire, is upset because it's like, this is not what the company needs at all. So get more hands on deck when creating a job description, whether it's a new role or a role that's just being revamped. And then make sure that you realize, since we are on a sales podcast, that a job ad is a sales ad. So don't just copy and paste a job description in there. Boring. You need to make sure there's some marketing words in there and say, hey, we're a great company and this is how I could prove it. Here's all our happy, smiling employees. Look at our, you know, careers page, our internet page. Brag about your benefits. Please be transparent about pay. In some states, that's actually required. And then still, even before posting that job ad, is get all the interview questions ready in a scorecard. Get the interview with team ready so that, I don't know, they're not on vacation when the interviews are occurring. And now the candidate's like, no, I already have 5 other interviews. I'm going to skip you because I'm not waiting 2 weeks. And then just making decisions based on really what we need, not what we want, but what we need and what we're able to afford. And then the final thing I would say is, you know, making sure that, especially for sales positions, is do skills testing, you know, do some testing of soft sales skills, or there's a lot of testing platforms out there that you can buy, test, online tests, or you can create your own too. You just need to make sure the testing is what's called valid and reliable, which means it's, you know, it's consistent, it's legal, all of that stuff. And it's nothing that we just made up that really ends up being discriminatory in the end, or just useless.
Interesting. Good stuff. Good stuff. I know you travel a lot. Any tips, people going through airports these days? Are you on planes and trains and automobiles, or what type of travel? I know you travel the country, so I'm going to go with planes, but
yeah.
Any tips going through airports to give to people?
You know, I mean, I would get the clearance, you know, go ahead and get the TSA clearance, because if you are going to be traveling even just once a month, depending on what the airport is, you know, I know you said you were from Orlando. I lived in Orlando over 20 years, and that airport is a nightmare because it's Disney and all the theme parks and kids. And now I move over. I still live in Florida, but I live by Tampa, St. Pete, and I go through the Tampa airport. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a breeze. This is so amazing. I never knew this existed. So, you know, one of the things that I do have the TSA clearance, or you could get clear depending on what your home airport is, but use that, figure out how to pack light. And, you know, you just use the airport as your office as well. So earphones are also something that's very, very important to have.
Super. How about luggage, Wendy? There are different pieces of luggage out there. I'm thinking more for people entering the sales professional, the profession of, you know, 4 wheels, 2 wheels, backpacks. Where's it at these days?
I travel light. I mean, I live in my RV, so I'm probably the wrong person to ask. I travel very light. And if I'm doing a 2 or 3 day training and it's different people, I'm probably reusing the same outfit and making sure I fold it up very neat and roll it. If you roll things, they won't get creases in them.
This is like loaded with content today, all directly with sales related.
Yeah, I'm telling absolutely. You, one other thing that I did want to say as well, regardless of whether if you're looking to hire people or you're just looking to retain your current employees, and I write about this in my second book, is make sure that you have a set of company values. And you've already mentioned company behaviors or values too. So all of your employees should be expected to behave in a certain manner, regardless of what their role is. And your company values should be the, you know, the guiding post of this is how we behave. Here we set boundaries, we, you know, are respectful, we're trusting, things like that. But often I see company values are created by the marketing or sales department to be put on a website for a sales point, which is great, but please get the HR department involved. If you don't have an HR department, you know, ops. I love committees. I've already mentioned committees. I like getting good old regular employees involved, because now you're going to be like, hey, everybody is going to be held accountable to these behaviors. So why don't we ask the employees if these are legit and if they're realistic for here? And if they're not, we may already have another problem. But 9 out of 10 times when my phone rings, again, I'm the HR lady, I'm an HR consultant. My clients are usually calling me because their employees have acted a fool and they don't know what to do. You know, just saying you didn't do your job, that's easy. But when they're acting like a jerk and you don't know how to handle it, that's when you point back to your company values and say, remember when we were going to act with respect here? This is why we're having this conversation right now. And this is why it's being documented and you're being held accountable. Yeah. So, man, you know, see it. Food for thought there.
Yeah. You may have seen, I'm wondering with your tech sale background, right? If you have a top producer who's bringing in revenue, and yet they might have poor behavior, you might have companies that say, we won't tolerate the behavior regardless of revenue that you're bringing in. And then there are those other companies that say, well, we will tolerate it. I that could be a debate in and of itself. But what did you find in your past, Sia?
Oh, don't get me in trouble. A lot of these people are watching.
Your name.
I invite them to this, to follow this. No, look, I think sales, okay, I think the career, if you choose a path in sales, you tend to have thicker skin in general. And when you do that, tend to be like, you know, athletes, like people that have been very competitive, that entrepreneurial spirit. So they have a tendency to be kind of like, I don't know, very confident in themselves. So some of our top sales reps that I always knew had a certain level of, let's just say, chutzpah about them that may or may not have rubbed other people well. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but I think ultimately to be a successful sales rep, you must know your client. If your client is, you know, super aggressive, love that chutzpah banter, then that's probably a really good fit to have that type of personality to support them. Right. So I don't want to be a hater, make haterade, because there were some reps where I was like, how the hell do they keep hitting their number? They're jerks. They're meanies. Like, there's this one rep who had the arrogance to tell the client, you're going to buy my renewal because you already dumped $10 million into our infrastructure. So I know we have you. He literally said that to the client. The client wanted to switch over to my company. And, when I had heard about it, I was like, how does this guy exist? And I don't know how to describe it other than they never did move away from that platform. So I don't know what to tell you, you know?
Yeah.
As a competitor, am I going to go tattletale? Like, you just got to know like where you kind of sit, unfortunately, in that case. And it sucks for the client. And that's why we keep chipping away saying, this is why you don't want to go into a full monopoly of a one technology solution, right? You know, or if you do, make it open source or something. You know what I mean? Anyway, don't make me, you're making me have flashbacks. Sorry.
We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that, Sia.
And you know who you are because I know you're watching. Okay, sorry.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. Well, this has been good. This has been a nice little chat, I think, chock full. Wendy, thank you for
you're welcome.
Coming on. Any you've traveled, you know, all of the states. Is there a spot that salespeople you might recommend if you're ever in? I sometimes like the states that I might not necessarily go there on my own dime. And I don't want to judge any of the states. But then when I have a company meeting or something, like, oh, yes, I would love to go to that particular state, because I wouldn't normally go on my own dime. But it's different of going to a conference brings you in. But any states that you would say, you know what? You got to go here if you go there.
Yeah, I mean, all the warm states, I don't like cold. So I would say, you know, Hawaii, California, Florida, of course, Georgia's pretty cool. I was actually pretty shocked about how much I actually really was surprised by Texas. I mean, it's huge, but it's so different depending on where you're at in Texas, and from the beach all the way, you know, up north. And so there's something to do everywhere. Even if you think it's like, oh, I don't want to go to that state, just go to the tourism association and go online. And there's something to do and there's something to learn from every single place that we go. And that's why we have these things called, you know, museums. Personally, I like to find a winery and then chat with the people there. And because they're usually relaxed and, you know, in a good mood, and then they'll start telling you, oh, yeah, I lived here for so long. What did this place look like before, you know, before the pandemic or 15 years ago? And, you know, in the state of Florida, you know, we're tourism central. And so I always just ask people when I meet them, where are you from? And it's a huge conversation starter, because if they're not from there, they can tell you why they moved there and, you know, some of their background. Or if they're from Florida, they grew up and lived in Florida. Whoa, that's a whole other conversation, because it's changed so much and continues to. So, you know, just get curious. And I'll be very blunt, just ask people questions and then shut up and listen.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, there's something to be said about going to the local watering hole, period.
Yep.
I mean, and you get to know your clients better that way. Again, I'm a salesperson, so I'm thinking in that context, but you want to really learn what environment these folks are in, what culture, subculture, right? For the local culture. Go to a local mom and pop shop. Don't go to the chains, right? Like, look, Starbucks has enough money, people. If you go to a local mom and pop donut shop, I assure you, you're going to get a whole lot more insider information than you would sitting there with a bunch of people who probably have headsets on and ignoring each other. That's kind of my two cents.
Exactly. And you just might pick up a sale too, or pick up some tips from hearing people to say, ooh, I didn't know about that, you know, what that hurricane or flood or whatever happened in this area, because I'm just visiting. And now I know, so I can maybe have that conversation with my potential client. Just remember, you know, people are people. We're people. We're human. And we all have feelings, and we all want to be acknowledged and, you know, recognized and above all, thanked, no matter what we're doing for our career.
I agree. No ha-ha with people. Be nice.
No gotchas.
No gotchas. Exactly. Exactly. Well, thanks so much for your time. This was wonderful. And Sia, I always enjoy the time we spend together.
I always, I love these conversations. This is probably one of the highlights of my month. And I know it's monthly right now, but thank you so much as always. Can I just simply tell you, Wendy, you've just been such a wealth of information and a pleasure. And you're not like all the HR folks that I've talked to.
Well, since the name of my first book is Suck It Up, Buttercup, Be a Leader People Will Follow. Yes, I have been informed many times that I am not your average HR person, and I strive to not be. But don't rule out all HR people. There's some really, really great HR people in the world, and they're trying their best to get around the drama and the corporate politics as well. But if anybody has any questions at all that they want to ask me offline, feel free to just shoot me an email, wendy@thehrlady.com, or connect on LinkedIn.
Love it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, as always, thank you very much, Traveling Sales Lady. Any last parting thoughts?
Well, I just, again, always a pleasure. Thank you, Wendy. And to our viewers, we will see ya. I love that.
I do love that. Okay. So I guess on behalf of the Traveling Sales Lady and the team at the Traveling Sales Lady podcast, guys, journey on.